The government will reveal details about a national suicide prevention strategy in the coming weeks. Official figures from the Chief Coroner's Office out yesterday show the number of people dying by suicide is at the highest it's ever been. In the year to June, 685 people died from suicide. Andy Fraser says a new national prevention strategy is desperately needed.
We can't just do one-offs. This has got to be a long and sustained intervention if we're going to see a reduction over time. How do we build the capacity of mums, dads, brothers, sisters, friends to actually look after one another?
Sean Robinson is the Chief Executive of the Mental Health Foundation. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we know there is a strategy coming from the government, but are you disappointed that it's taken quite a while and is there enough urgency?
Well, look, yeah, we needed this strategy, several years ago. And in fact, you know, the previous government really dragged the chain on responding to this issue. So, absolutely, we all needed a concerted, coordinated plan, you know, and it should have started years ago. However, you know, look, at least we know that it's coming now. When we look at countries that are starting to make some headway on, you know, and this is an international issue that faces all countries around the world, but where they are making headway, they do have leadership, they do have a plan. So England has a Minister of Suicide Prevention and it has a national strategy. We're now setting up an Office of Suicide Prevention, the government's doing that, and you know, and a new national strategy is, you know, coming very, very soon. So it can't come soon enough.
What is needed in terms of immediate impacts or things that can make a difference? Are boots on the ground, social workers, people who can help, going to make the difference required?
That's only one small part of it. Services is one small part of it. I mean, I agree with the principal of Otaki College. You know, much more it is actually the thousands and thousands of caring New Zealanders, the mums, the dads, the brothers, the friends, the workmates, you know, equipping ordinary people to be able to reach out to one another when they see the signs that somebody is distressed, you know, and understanding those signs where, you know, someone's behaviour may be changing. They may be stopping enjoying things that they were previously enjoying. They may be sleeping much more or sleeping a lot less. You know, their mood may have changed. Sometimes they may appear to be much more sort of outgoing and partying much more rather than apparently depressed. You know, it's those changes in behaviour that can be signs. And then having the confidence just to get beside somebody and say, are you okay? And even to say, look, are you thinking about suicide? And then the hard part for many people is, what if they say yes? Well, you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be there and stay there and sort of be, say, you know, I care about you. I'm here. I'll help you through this. You know, I myself was suicidal 30 years ago, and it was my friends and my family doing that that was a key part of saving my life.
We know that there are. It is complex, the reasons for suicide, but what do you believe are the underlying reasons for the recent increase, that for the fact that we're still continuing to see these high rates over a number of years now? Do you believe that inequality, hopelessness are key driving factors?
Absolutely. You know, there are many, many factors that contribute to it, but inequality, things like poverty, unemployment, housing issues, are critical. I was talking to a young woman about a year ago, and she said, look, I struggle with depression, but last year I couldn't get enough work, so I couldn't afford decent housing. I was in damp, overcrowded housing. So, yeah, I was suicidal. This year I've got a better job. I'm living somewhere better. So, yes, I still have times of depression, but I'm no longer suicidal. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that some of those really basic factors and stressors in a person's life, you know, can add to, you know, other factors and really, you know, tip someone over the edge. So it is a multifaceted approach that we need. We need to, you know, reduce those drivers of people's despair. We need to equip the community to be able to support one another and to reach out to one another. We need to have services available when people are really struggling. And, you know, again, in my case, I was very lucky. I had a great GP, and he was able to help me, and I was able to get into more specialist support. For far too many people, that's not the case. So we need to be building up that layer of support as well. You know, I then had to learn a lot of things about how to look after myself after I got through the crisis time. So we need to be equipping people with those kind of skills as well as that ongoing support. You know, that sense of belonging, that sense of, you know, actually being of value, and that's, you know, things like indeed, work, culture. There are so many aspects to this. And unfortunately, we haven't been doing anything different for a number of years, so we can't expect a different result. But hopefully, with the new plan, the new leadership, the new commitment from government to lead and connect the dots across all the different parts of the community, government, you know, then we will start doing things differently. We will have more resources to do more of the things that are working but are only working in a small scale at the moment.
Sean Robinson, Chief Executive of the Mental Health Foundation, thank you very much for your time. And we will take a look at the statistics in relation to Māori a little bit later in the program, because that is particularly alarming.